What if I told you that this state, what they're trying to do right now, you could go to jail for selling a metal tube, not a gun, not a receiver, not a frame, not even an FRT, but a barrel. And they're doing it in direct defiance of the Supreme Court's ruling in Bruin. And let me know what you think of our new America 250 collection at Blackout. This is one of our new shirts. We got three of them. Check them out. I just got mine and I love it. And hopefully you'll love them too. But what's going on in these Democrat states now with their TDS is kind of going crazy. This is exactly how rights get dismantled, guys. Piece by piece, part by part, while most people are not even paying attention. If you care about the Second Amendment, the Constitution, and stopping this kind of overreach before it spreads nationwide, hit subscribe right now. Because this channel is where we break it all down for you. Fact by fact, case by case, law by law, no spin, just straight stuff. So let's get into it. This is Senate Bill 26-43, introduced into Colorado's 75th General Assembly. And here's what it does, in plain English. According to the bill text, a firearm barrel can only be sold or transferred in person by a federally licensed firearm dealer. That's an FFL. Private citizens cannot sell or transfer a barrel. A non-FFL cannot even possess a barrel with the intent to sell it. Violations are criminal misdemeanors up to 30 days in jail and fines. Buyers must be 18 plus and legally eligible to purchase firearms in order to buy a barrel. FFLs must record extensive personal data about the barrel sale. Records must be kept for 5 years, and the Colorado Bureau of Investigation must create a tracking form. Let me say that again. Colorado is attempting to regulate a barrel, a metal tube, just like California, as though it were a complete firearm. And not just regulate it, criminalize private transfers of it. You might ask, like, what is a firearm barrel under the bill? And here's where it gets a little more aggressive. The bill defines a firearm barrel as, quote, the tube through which a projectile is fired, end quote. And it includes forgings, castings, printings, extrusions, machine bodies, or similar articles that can be completed into a barrel. That means raw barrel blanks, partially machined components, items that can be readily completed. And we saw how much of a shit show that was with ATF over 80% lowers under the Biden administration. And they could be readily completed. By who? By what skill set? What tools? Even printed or cast objects, not even functional yet, would be illegal under this bill if it were to pass. And it looks like it probably has a good opportunity to pass. This is incredibly broad language. And we've seen this tactic before when lawmakers go after an unfinished receiver or redefine parts as firearms. Now they're targeting barrels. Under Section 3 of the bill, if you are not an FFL and you possess a barrel with the intent to sell it, you commit a misdemeanor. So, if you upgrade your own rifle, remove your old barrel, try to sell that old barrel privately, you're now a criminal under Colorado law. You can't even buy them online unless it's transferred at an FFL. Now, this regulation is a regulation on lawful commerce between private citizens involving a non-serialized component. Think of that. I want to thank the sponsor here real quick, Patriot Gold. Guys and gals, retail investment demand in gold and silver has skyrocketed in recent months. And J.P. Morgan said we could see $8,500 an ounce for gold, and silver has surged over 158% last year. It's not a reason to panic, but it's a reason to buy more gold and more silver and adjust your investments. Were you aware that gold has nearly doubled the performance of the S&P over the last 25 years? Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. And mention Guns and Gadgets to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group, they have a no-fee-for-life IRA where your IRA or your 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you might be eligible for the no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 888-581-4989 and get a free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer 9 years in a row. Call 888-581-4989 today. Thanks to Patriot Gold for sponsoring the video. Guys, as you may know, in 2022, the United States Supreme Court decided New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. And that case fundamentally changed how Second Amendment cases are analyzed. The court said if conduct is covered by the plain text of the Second Amendment, then the government must prove the regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. No balancing tests, no public safety arguments, no interest weighing, none of it. Text, history, tradition, period, point blank. That's it. So here's the key question. Is there a historical tradition at the time of the founding of regulating or criminalizing the private sale of firearm barrels? The answer is obviously no. There were no founding era laws requiring barrels to be transferred through licensed dealers. There were no laws criminalizing private sales of gun components. There were no laws mandating record retention for 5 years. And as you may guess, there were no laws requiring background checks for replacement parts. In fact, early America depended on widespread private manufacture and trade of gun components. Gunsmithing was decentralized. Parts were replaced and traded. Barrels were repaired, swapped, or customized. There's zero historical analog for regulating standalone barrels like firearms. Under Bruin, that means this law fails. And this is the modern strategy that we're watching unfold nationwide. If you can't ban guns outright, then you should try to get bills passed that can regulate receivers, triggers, barrels, springs, part kits, you name it. You slowly make it legally and logistically difficult to build, repair, or maintain firearms. But here's the constitutional problem for them. The Second Amendment protects the right to keep and bear arms. Arms require components. You cannot meaningfully exercise the right without the ability to acquire, repair, and or replace parts. And regulating a core functional component like a barrel burdens the right itself. This bill also mandates FFLs record buyer's full legal name, address, date of birth, driver's license number, make, model, caliber of the barrel, and who is buying it, and the employee who is processing it. And that's to keep those for 5 years. And let's be honest about what this is, guys. It's a registry mechanism, even if it's not called a registry. Like when government mandates detailed documentation and retention on constitutionally protected components, it's surveillance infrastructure. And remember, the Supreme Court has never recognized the historical tradition of registry-style tracking of ordinary firearms parts. There's the whole NFA, but they did that as a tax. And at the time of the ratification, private citizens owned arms. Private citizens repaired arms. Private citizens bought and sold components. There were no federal firearms licenses. None. There was no national tracking apparatus. Militia statutes required citizens to maintain functional arms. And the militia statutes never went away, guys. They did not require citizens to seek government permission to replace a barrel. In fact, the entire militia structure presupposed independent access to arms and components. Colorado's bill flips that tradition on its head. And let's walk through it cleanly here. Step one, does the Second Amendment's plain text cover the conduct? Owning a barrel? Yes. Acquiring parts necessary to keep and bear arms is part of keeping arms operational. Step two, is there a historical analog from 1791 supporting this type of regulation? No. There's no founding era tradition of criminalizing private sales of gun barrels. Under Bruin, that's the end of the analysis. Done. The burden shifts to the state. And historically, they can't meet that. Even if you don't live in Colorado, pay attention, because this is the testing ground model. If it's upheld, you'll see barrel regulations in blue states. Expansion to other components will happen. Increased FFL bottlenecks will happen. And more de facto registries will be created and completed. Incrementalism is how rights are eroded. Not always with one sweeping ban, but through component by component restriction. So under the Supreme Court's current framework, it's constitutionally suspect at best, and likely unconstitutional if challenged properly. Now this is why the Second Amendment matters, because it's not about hunting, it's not about sporting, it's about preserving a structural right. The founders did not design a system where the government could control the individual's ability to maintain arms by regulating spare parts. They designed a system where the people retained the power. And far too many of us have forgotten that and want big government daddy to have the power to help us. Give me something free, daddy. And when the legislatures attempt to stretch regulatory authority beyond historical limits, it's the court's duty under Bruin to strike it down. That's how constitutional governance works. So if you found this breakdown valuable, share it. Because these fights do not always make national headlines. But they are the front lines of constitutional interpretation. And piece by piece, we either defend the Second Amendment or we allow it to be regulated into irrelevance. Now let me know what you think about Colorado's barrel bill in the comments down below. I appreciate y'all. Stay armed, stay free, and forever, ever stay vigilant. And do not stay silent when it comes to our rights, all of them. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.